I wanted to tell you something about me and how I take up my time during the week. On a Tuesday afternoon, Sue and I are volunteer helpers for the chaplaincy department in the Heath Hospital. We have each been allocated a particular ward. My ward is B1, that's the cardiac ward. And for a few hours, we go to those wards and we look for, in my case, anyway, I can't tell you Sue's strategy, but in my case, I look for patients that haven't got any visitors or they haven't got any medical attention being applied at that particular time. And I would go up and introduce myself to them. Can I tell you one thing that is common in almost every case of my meeting with patients? They all say how great the NHS service is in the Heath Hospital. Okay? So how many of you actually work in Heath Hospital at the moment? Yeah? Okay? Well, it's you they're saying are good. Okay? And when I go along, I'm able to draw out that information, and I can see on their faces they are so pleased that they are in a place where their care is being met. All I want to do over the next few minutes is just tell you my particular strategy of meeting complete strangers for the first time. The first thing I would say to them is, of course, who I am. My name is Paul Roderick. I work to support the chaplaincy department here in the Heath. And I'm wondering if you've just got a few moments of your time for me to meet with you and learn something of you. Now, every person I have spoken to has said, yeah, that's okay. Many of them offer me the position of sitting on their bed, which I say, well, I'm not supposed to actually do that. But I'll do whatever they suggest. Because it's not easy standing around or stooping down for 2 hours, I can tell you, when you're my age. When I told them who I am, I then asked them, well, this is the important question, okay? How are you feeling right now? Because part of our job is to go and check with patients how they're feeling at the time of our visit. You see, we don't say, well, how have you been then? Because if we do that, we get their medical history right from the date of birth, right the way up to the present day. But if you say, well, how are you feeling now? That's a different story. And the majority of them will say, oh, yeah, I'm feeling okay, thank you. And then I might ask them, well, how long have you been in the hospital? Oh, and they'll tell me some of them have been there for just a couple of days. I've only just arrived. I'm just settling in. Or I used to be up in another hospital, up at Merthyr, before coming here. So in total, I've been in the hospital system for maybe 3 weeks. Well, what brought you in here then? Is my next question. Now, those that are pretty live and wide awake, they're going to say, well, it was an ambulance. Okay? So I politely laugh, and then I say, yeah, well, what was the condition that brought you in here? Oh, yes, well, of course, the majority of people in Ward B1, cardiac cases, so I had a heart attack. Or people thought I had a heart attack. Or I've got some, my heart isn't beating at the right rhythm. Oh, all right, so I've learned an awful lot. In fact, if I have the right kit, I'm ready now to do the operations myself. You know, that's what experience gives you. Well, then I might say, okay, well, have you had any particular procedures whilst you've been in here? And they might tell me what their stents and shunts are and all the rest of it, and they've had a pacemaker fitted or whatever. They're telling me all these things that they've already had done. But then I'll say, are you anticipating any procedures that are going to happen? Oh, yeah. The expression on their face may change just a little. Oh, yes, they told me I've got to have an angiogram. I've got to have an open heart surgery or whatever. You can see there's a bit of an anxiety on their faces. And then I'm able to say, well, does that cause you any real anxiety right now? And many of them will say, well, I know it's got to be done. It's bound to be leading towards a better condition, so I'll just let it happen. But other people are quaking. They say, oh, yes, I'm really concerned about this. Now, my next question is this. Do you have any living faith that helps you cope with times of anxiety like this? And many people will say, oh, yes, I used to go to church. They've misunderstood the question, haven't they? Any living faith, any faith that you have today that is developing now? Well, yes, I used to go to church, or I do go to church. I'm a complete agnostic. I don't believe in any God or anything like that, some might say. And others might say that they know that they have God on their side. And they're ready to be undergoing an operation. I don't know what the risks are. They know that they're safe in his hands. And then if I feel led to, and this doesn't happen on every occasion, but if I feel led to, I will say, well, would you want me to pray with you? There have only been one or two that have said, no thanks, no need. The majority of people say, well, thank you for that opportunity of someone coming here and praying, because they know that I believe in an almighty God. And then I'm able to take their hands and pray with them. Doesn't matter about the embarrassment for them or for me. I'm able to share time with them in the presence of God, asking God to bring them comfort, to give them relief from the situation in which they find themselves, or indeed complete healing, that they may be able to step out of this hospital completely different. One of the other questions I might ask them is, do you feel better now than when you first came in? And many people, I've got to tell you, in Ward B1, gosh, they've got a great success rate there. There are people that come in with great difficulties, and there are people that go out, and they've had their situation completely changed. They've got a new opportunity of enjoying life. Their lifestyle may have to change just a little, but they're going out with life. You know, all of that came to me just this time last week. Because what God pointed out to me is, to be honest, you're like the people in B1. You're a captive audience to start with, right? We lock the doors, you can't get out. But you're just like the people in B1. You're in here for a reason. So let me ask you those questions that I put to the people that I meet on Ward B1. I'll run through them here. I've got to look at it on my list so I don't miss one out. Right, let's try it. How are you now today? That's my first question. Okay. Well, how long have you been coming to this place? What brought you in here? What condition did you need to have treated? Are you feeling better now compared to how you felt at the time you first came? What procedures have you had? What procedures do you believe you need? Does this prospect cause you any real anxiety? Do you have any living faith of your own that will help you through this anxiety? Do you want me to pray with you and for you? Well, as I was asking each of those questions, were you consciously considering, well, what would my response be if he was to ask me directly? So let's look at some of those questions again in a little greater detail. The first one. How are you feeling right now? What is your mental state? Your physical state? Your spiritual state right now as you sit there? Are you feeling as though the whole world seems to be against you? That there seem to be so many pressures on your life that are creating tensions in your life and you can't manage? That you're finding things to be just too much for you? Do you feel that there seems to be this big cloud above you which is saying, you can't cope? And you don't feel as though you can? Or do you feel, no, in my heart, there is real joy here. I can put a smile on my face. Can't you? And I know that I can cope with whatever comes before me. Well, this is what David said in Psalm. This is what David said in the Psalm. Right, we have it here. Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. On many days, we may feel as individuals as though things are just too big for us. But the psalmist goes on. This is David writing. He says later on in Psalm 56, he says this. You number all my wanderings. You put my tears in a bottle. And are they not all written in your book? Imagine that. Knowing the presence of God to be one who knows your every move, all of your wanderings, every situation, all of your anxieties, and every tear you drop. The psalmist writes as though God collects each one of those and puts them in his bottle that is labeled you. He knows. He knows all the difficulties you're encountering. He wants to help you in each of those situations. Listen to this poem. I found this the other day and I was quite struck by it. Sometimes we come to life's crossroads and we view what we think is the end. But God has a much wider vision and he knows that it's only a bend. The road will go on and get smoother. And after we've stopped for a rest, the path that lies hidden beyond us is often the path that is best. So rest and relax and grow stronger. Let go and let God share the load and have faith in a brighter tomorrow. You just come to a bend in the road. So when you entered this place this morning, you know, what sort of issues were you carrying with you? Did your heart feel low? Or did it feel really expansive? It's a beautiful day. This is the day that God has made. I'm really pleased and joyful. But there may well be days in your experience which are a little lower than that. And this is what God is saying. I'm there for those days. I don't know how you're feeling right now. This is one of those things. And he's ready to help us. So that was my first question. How are you feeling right now? My second question was this. So what's caused you to come here today rather than what brought you here today? Yeah, it's business. Why do you come here? What do you see this place can bring to you as an individual? Do you come here because it's just the place to go on a Sunday? I can remember when I was a kid, yeah, that was the place to go. I had to go to church on a Sunday morning. But as I've grown up, I've learned to appreciate that, yes, this is a place to go on a Sunday morning. There is time in my diary to be here because I know this place and the presence of God, joining with other people, does me good. Now, the people that I see in Ward B1, why are they there? It's a matter of life and death to them. This is a hard ward I'm talking about. These are people who, perhaps just the day before or a couple of days before, they are collapsed on the floor. They are on the edge. Life or death is going to be the impact of that day. And to be honest, it's just the same with you. The significance of this place is it a place set aside for the worship of God, to meet God, to be challenged in regard to our individual relationship with God. And if we are in right relationship with him, we're able to be praise God with other people here. In Psalm 31, verse 3, it says, For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. The psalmist is saying, I know where it's good for me. In the presence of God. He is one who can lead me and guide me and protect me and meet me in all of my needs. The next question. What condition do you need to have treated? As you came here today, what was your state of mind and heart? Is there something that needs to be done about your condition right now? Is there an issue that needs to be addressed between you and God, and one that needs to be addressed right now, not for the future? You know, whenever I come and I have an opportunity of speaking to any church, I will always include in my sermon the need for the gospel. Because each of us has an issue that we need to address before God. We have got an inbred sin issue which needs to be removed, totally removed. Sometimes we feel that we want to do things wrong, and other times we naturally do things wrong without any real desire to do so. As I was sitting in my seat just now, on the floor was a part of a sweet wrapper. The lad who was sitting in front of me is probably totally unaware that he has dropped this on the floor. Now imagine that this was a sin that was undertaken without really being conscious of it. I'm sure that in your lives, or certainly in my life, there are occasions when that happens. And what we need to address is whether there is a mechanism that we understand as being the one that removes the taint of the sin. There is. When Jesus Christ died, he died for each of you. Right, there may be what, 25? Each of you, Jesus died. So that we can go to him and we can say, take away my sin issue, God, because you are the only way to do it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He promises us that he can give us not just life. That's what the people in Ward B1 are asking for. They just want life. And any life that is better than the life that they were leading before they came in. Released from the pain and the difficulties, the constraints that they have on their lives. They're not able to walk as far as they would like to. They're not able to go upstairs as quickly as they would like. These are people whose lives need to be changed. And as a result of the medical resources that there are in the Heath, those lives are changed. And they go out different people. And that's what the Bible says about each one of us. If we come to God and we acknowledge that we have a sin issue that needs to be dealt with, the job that Jesus did at Calvary for you and me is complete. He just doesn't wipe away black and make it grey. He wipes away black and makes it white. White as snow. Now I need to know whether you have got that understanding in your own heart in relation to your own sin. Do you have a faith, a living faith, that allows you to recognize the need for that procedure in your life? And if you haven't, you need it. You know, it's so important that we see that God has thought of everything. And he has said, I can treat you. No matter how bad you are, I've got to accept that I'm sure in the medical world, there are some conditions where there is no treatment available. It's too bad. Or there's not enough time. The resources aren't available. But that's not the case with God. God is saying, I can treat each one of you in your own need. No matter what that need is, I can meet it. And it also tells us in the Bible and makes it very clear that God also wants to make not just your spiritual life clearer by the removal of the sin and the guilt that's associated with it, but your physical life. by his stripes we are healed. Now, if you have come into this place today and you have an issue, a physical issue, a mental issue, God is as ready to deal with that as he is to deal with the spiritual issues. And he is saying, do you want to continue living in this state that you're in, this physical state that you're in, this physical inability to operate an ordinary life? Do you want to? Or do you want to step into a new life that is released from those constraints? Now, when I see the people in B1, I'm sure they would like to see, instead of the medical opening up of the heart, repairing it in open heart surgery, instead of that, what they would prefer is for God to come down and say, it's okay, I've made it back. Miraculously. Now, I know things like that can happen. I haven't got as much faith that I would like to have, but I know I've got sufficient to know that my God is an almighty God. And he's able to meet everybody in every situation. And he's able to change lives dramatically, absolutely dramatically. So, where have we got? We've got to that point where I've said that, first of all, why are you here? What condition have you come in? What procedures do you think you need to improve your state, your mental state, your physical state, your spiritual state? Have you got a living faith that will help you through those situations? And the last question, can I pray for you? Do you need that help? It's always easier to actually share that issue with someone else and have someone acting as an intercessor between you and God to actually say, I am lifting you up here. Here is your issue. There is God. You are coming together. He's going to resolve it. I'm saying seriously today, right now, are there any issues that you would like to see changed in your life? Right now, today, before we leave. Now, I know that I end the majority of sermons with, don't leave this place without sorting out the things in your life. I don't say that flippantly. I say it as a challenge to you. But now I'm saying, more directly, can we pray to see those issues resolved today? Are there people here who need to see Jesus Christ as their Savior for the first time? You're here today with sin in your life, and you need to see that sin question resolved. Let's see that happen now. Are there people here who have been Christians for some time, but perhaps they haven't been baptized? Let's see that resolved now. Are there people here who have come with some form of infirmity for which they would like us to pray right now? It's that serious. Can we do that? We would like to be able to do that. We'd certainly like the opportunity that the leaders of this church get to pray with those who need prayer. Now, I'm going to pray for everybody right now. And then after I have prayed and said amen, if you wish to be prayed with this morning, and if you're able, come down the front. And we will pray with you here. No matter what the issue is, let us pray with you. In strictest confidence, it's a matter between you and God. But if we can help you on that road, then that's what we want to do. If you can't make it out of your chair, you just raise your hand and one of us will actually come to you and say, but can we pray? I've only ever been refused once or twice to pray for the patients in B1. And they know what their condition is. They know it's important. And they're ready to grasp any opportunity to be released from that anxiety. I sit here, we long to pray. Dear Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we sit and stand in your presence at this moment. We know you, God, to be the Almighty God, the one who has power and authority over all issues. We thank you for the plan of salvation that we saw completed in our Savior Jesus Christ's death at Calvary. Lord, we thank you that we see so many evidences of your power being displayed in the lifting up of damaged people in your word. And Father, we would just ask that this morning, as you look down upon this congregation of souls here, we would ask, Lord, that you would bless us this morning with your presence and with your power and with your authority, so that we might see lives that are changed today, so that people leave this place being able to walk more likely because they know they've been in the presence of God and God has met with them. So, Father, I thank you for this opportunity of coming before you this morning. And I just ask, dear Father, that we see your magnificence in this place. Amen. Amen.